ESPN Daily is presented by Supercuts, the smarter, easier way to get a haircut. It's not just any haircut. It's Supercuts.
Mahomes, ton of time, escapes, goes to the end zone. It's Williams there, and he makes the grab.
Oh, my goodness. Of course, you're going to take a running back and just throw up a prayer and expect him to make a play like that. Are you kidding me?
That is Patrick Mahomes, throwing the fourth of his five touchdowns against the Raiders and reminding all of us that the reports of his demise were greatly exaggerated. And that degree of revival was not unique to Kansas City on Sunday. It was a theme across the NFL, from New England to Green Bay to even Carolina. So today, our Monday morning quarterback, Alex Smith, walks us through Week 10, and he helps restore some order to the chaos of the NFL universe. I'm Pablo Torre. It's Monday, November 15th. This is ESPN Daily. So, Alex Smith, it is 11:55 p.m. Eastern, and I'm uniquely excited to talk to you right now because when we brought you on ESPN Daily, I thought we were going to be talking about Chiefs games exactly like this one. But this is kind of the first one, I think, that kind of fulfills what I thought this might have felt like. So what did it feel like to watch your former understudy, Patrick Mahomes, do this? What did you see out there against the Raiders?
I mean, you hit the nail on the head right there. Like, I feel like this is what we've all been expecting. This was like vintage Kansas City offense, Patrick doing what he does best. There were just chunk plays all over the place. I don't know how many different people got involved in the party, and they were having a great time.
Everybody, it felt like everybody by the end got involved in the party.
It was fun to watch. I feel like, I think the entire country, as far as NFL fans are concerned, have been asking this, like, when are they going to wake up? When are they going to wake up? You know, the last few weeks have gotten even worse. Patrick has played his two worst games probably of his career, certainly from a back-to-back stretch these last couple weeks, and then tonight put on a show for everybody. I mean, again, I think the AFC and certainly the AFC West, I mean, they're now atop the AFC West, which is crazy.
It's crazy. Let's reset this for the people, because they are now 6-4, your former team, the Kansas City Chiefs, are. They're atop the AFC West. The Las Vegas Raiders going in the wrong direction. The Los Angeles Chargers going in the wrong direction. The Denver Broncos, you know, rounding out the bottom. And suddenly, it's like, oh, wait a minute. Only the Tennessee Titans have more wins in the AFC than the Chiefs, this team we all left for dead. We thought they were dead. And here they are sticking a hand throwing, I believe, 35 of 50, 406 yards, 5 touchdowns. That hand emerging from the grave and just bombing it everywhere.
And effortless. I mean, when you're putting up over 500 yards of offense, like no sweat, 5 touchdown passes, creativity all over the place. I thought the thing that really jumped out to me tonight, though, was actually a little more of a commitment to finally run the ball a little bit at times.
I was going to ask you about that.
And having success. You know, they almost had 100 yards rushing. It was something that was kind of missing. And it was great to see. And then again, getting a ton of different people incorporated also. I mean, obviously, Kelce and Tyreek Hill get a lot of the attention, but they got a lot of different people involved tonight all over the place. It was great to see, ton of fun to watch. And again, they just make it look so easy.
That's what's scary, dude. That's what's scary is how casual, and it's not just a casual left-handed pass, which Patrick did in the first quarter or whatever. Like, I mean, I'm like weirdly numb. Like, okay, he's going to do weird stuff like that. It's the casualness of that throw. He just launches up there into the end zone.
Yep.
To a running
and
back.
And what a catch.
And what a catch from Darrell Williams.
And to have the confidence to do it. Darrell Williams, I mean, to go over 100 yards receiving, ran the ball really well tonight. They've kind of been missing that, you know, certainly, with Clyde Edwards-Helaire out, I think the running back spot has been problematic for him, and he played amazing tonight. That touchdown catch was absurd for a running back to make. Patrick, I mean, it was classic Patrick running around, nearly crossed the line of scrimmage, back across his body.
Correct.
I mean, almost Moss. It might make You Got Moss. We'll see. I don't know if Randy will put it on there.
It deserves it, man. If you're a running back doing that, and I mean, so you got the running back doing that. You have Tyreek Hill being Tyreek Hill, 2 touchdowns, 83 yards receiving, the third leading receiver on the team tonight. And then look, you have played. You know the value. You know the warmth of Travis Kelce as a security blanket.
Oh, one of my favorites tonight is when he's chipping, he releases late, they throw him like a 4-yard dump pass, and he turned it up. He made about 5 guys miss, and it was like a 40-yard gain. I mean, he led the team in receiving. Yeah, I mean, and they all had smiles on their faces, everybody feeding off each other.
Unfair.
It's scary to think, like you said, as bad as they have been, if this is something that they wrote out and they can get back to their old ways. Like you said, it's scary to think about. They're atop their division. Yeah, I think it's good for football.
Yeah, and I want to give a special sort of consideration here to the defense, Alex, because this was a 41-14 win again, and this is coming off of a 13-7 win over Green Bay, albeit without Aaron Rodgers. And then before that, you know, they hold the Giants to 17 points. And what you saw defensively after we both have been, you know, appropriately critical for the whole year, what encouraged you about the Kansas City Chiefs defense?
I also think it's kind of what we expected out of Kansas City's defense. Listen, this isn't going to be a defense that locks opponents down week in and week out, but they create a lot of chaos. Steve Spagnuolo is one of the best, most creative defensive coordinators in football. They can bring pressure from anywhere and everywhere. They're not afraid to roll the dice and come at you. I think they held the Raiders to 1 of 9 on third down tonight. I mean, really, really good. They keep you off balance. They created 2 turnovers. It was a great punch out on DeSean Jackson after a big catch. I mean, like, that's what we expected. Be opportunistic. Create problems. And if you make a couple plays here and there, combined with the way the offense is capable of doing, it's hard to overcome, you know? Like, and they did that tonight. And then again, to hold the Raiders, who are no slouch themselves on offense, to hold them to 14 points. Is encouraging. I totally agree. The defense played great.
Well, but your point is well taken, right? They don't need to be a very good or even good defense. They just need to be decent enough for this offense to carry them home. But the defensive player I want to give an extra special shout out to, of course, is Daniel Sorensen, right? Like, that's the guy opposing quarterbacks and the internet basically has been hunting, targeting all year, Alex. And he comes up with his first pick of the season. And as a former Chief, some part of you has to be warmed by that.
Yeah, I'm pumped for Daniel. Daniel's an amazing teammate. You know, he's a guy that he's always kind of been a little bit of the Swiss Army knife on that defensive side of the ball. You know, he plays safety. He can cover the guys out of the backfield and tight ends. He's a decent matchup. He plays the run really, really well. There's a lot of times they kind of stack him in there as a linebacker role in against, you know, 11 personnel. That'd be 3 wide receivers, excuse me. And he does a great job at all these things. You know, he is. He can kind of do a little bit of everything, and that is his strength. Certainly this year he has been exposed in some big moments. And I think a little bit that's football, though. You're playing against the best of the best, and you play long enough, you're going to take your licks. I think it's important to be able to not let it affect the next one. And happy that Daniel was able to make some plays tonight, because I'll tell you what, he loves his teammates. He loves that team, that city. And I know it hurt him to let him down at times. And like everybody, when you don't hold up your end of the deal, it hurts. And so to see him bounce back and play well, I know it means a lot to him. So pump for him in that regard. Even though he did go to BYU, I won't hold that against him.
Yeah, the state of Utah, not big enough for all of you guys.
No.
There can be only one. That's right, like Highlander. Yep.
I remind Andy Reid of that often.
Alex, I don't often do this, look ahead to next Sunday like this, but I just realized we get Cowboys Chiefs next week, dude. I mean, that... We neither of us really gamblers, but I just feel like the over is the first thought that comes.
Yeah,
to mind.
Are we gonna are we gonna try to predict what the over under is gonna be on that? Definitely could be some fireworks, and I hope so, man. That would be a ton of fun to watch. Already looking forward to it.
All right, Alex. Up next, we need to talk about everything else that happened on Sunday, because the resurrection of the Kansas City Chiefs might not be the most dramatic return that we witnessed.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home some huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
So, Alex, we got to go out to Green Bay because we had snow. We had the return of two future Hall of Famers, Aaron Rodgers, who'd been doing like isolated yoga or whatever and recovering from COVID. And Russell Wilson, Alex, said he was doing like 19 hours a day of finger exercises to rehab that thing, which I guess is mathematically possible, although I don't fully understand how. But the point is, we were set up for this giant like offensive showdown. And what we got was neither guy looking like their best selves, right? I mean, this was a 17-0 shutout by the Packers. What did you see in this one? What did you see from Rodgers in particular?
No, it was. It was definitely obviously hyped up as both these guys coming back. You know, Rodgers obviously from the COVID list and drama, and Russell, yeah, coming back quicker than anticipated from his finger injury on his throwing hand. And, you know, a big NFC matchup. And I think everybody kind of interested to see how this would work, obviously, and how prepared these two were going to come in and be ready to roll. And clearly some rust early by both these guys.
Yeah.
But, you know, for me, I definitely still was impressed with the way Aaron played today. Having zero practice, I think regardless of being a Hall of Famer and you know, MVP candidate, that's still really hard to do. And watching him, you certainly it creeped up at times, fumbled snaps. You know, the interception he threw was so un-Aaron-like, you know, forcing a ball in the red zone that was really costly and would have obviously kind of kept Seattle in this game even longer. But there was also a lot of good there, too, given everything that he went through. I mean, he was still making a ton of checks at the line of scrimmage. They were making, you know, they were breaking off hot routes all over the plays. He still had great timing. I mean, I think he completed passes to 9 receivers today. That's crazy. But I think that the bigger thing is, I mean, this Packers defense seems to be the real deal at this point. I think regardless of how Russell played, you look at what the Packers have done these last few weeks and man, they got it going on. And I think that really bodes well for them. That's not something we've seen up in Green Bay for a long time. This has always been an offense oriented team. And now to have that side of the ball playing the way they are, I think it could be a real threat to make a run.
Yes. No, I mean, Alex, look, Aaron Rodgers apparently has 6 career games, I am told, with 0 passing touchdowns and at least 1 interception. And the Packers go 1-5 in those games. This is not a game that this team historically would win, but that defense, I mean, we've talked all year, Alex, you and me, about the nightmare of trying to stop these modern superstar quarterbacks like Kyler Murray and Patrick Mahomes and Russell Wilson. And this Packers defense has played the 3 of them in that order over the last 3 weeks. And they've been held collectively to 1 passing touchdown combined. So what does this Green Bay defense do that makes them so tough to play against, even as a dual threat quarterback?
I think, and we've talked a lot about it, I think like any good defense, it starts with the guys up front. And it was funny, I was listening to Belichick talk a lot about sacks and obviously how important they are. And it's a statistic, obviously, for defensive linemen that means a lot. The one that often gets overlooked are pressures. And it was and Belichick talking about how oftentimes it's more important to put pressure on a quarterback because good things happen.
I think when we look at the interceptions throughout the league, that we see a lot of those interceptions occur on pressures. So sacks are sacks, but pressures a lot of times lead to interceptions and turnovers.
I think that's kind of this Green Bay's philosophy, man. They get after it up front. Every single guy up there, I feel like, can get after the passer. They stopped the run again today as well, which obviously starts with the front. And they didn't give up any big plays. And I think if Green Bay wants to be in contention in the NFC, they're going to need a defense to keep playing like this to go with it. Because, you know, come January, February, it's going to be that kind of football. And so, they've kind of flown under the radar. Certainly a lot of drama going on up there in Wisconsin, and this defense has done that, and I think they're fine doing that. But, man, certainly deserve some praise the way they're playing right now.
So the Packers, basically what they do now off of this giant win is they pray for the recovery of Aaron Jones, who got injured in this game, worried about him, worried about his leg. But the other team, though, the Cardinals, they're praying for the return of Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins ASAP because they just got blown out, Alex.
Yeah.
34-10 by the Carolina Panthers at home. And that felt like a game that a team that is a true contender, you know, it shouldn't have been that out of reach. But the story as for why it was so dramatically going in the other direction was Cam Newton. And Cam Newton, for those who fell asleep for this NFL season, I mean, got cut from the Patriots before week one at age 32, goes unsigned until this past week, then shows up in the end zone with a very loud message.
Newton takes the snap, and he is in for a Panthers touchdown.
And look, P.J. Walker, fairness to him, he gets most of the snaps for Carolina. But look, you played against Cam for years, man. What did this game tell you about Cam Newton?
First off, this was absolutely amazing to see him back in a Panthers uniform. I mean, to get signed a couple days ago, when I heard he was just dressing, I think that just speaks to obviously Cam and being prepared and ready for this opportunity, and hats off to him for that. Cam Newton is the greatest goal line and short yardage player in the history of the NFL. I don't think there is contention there. Whether or not you view him as a starting quarterback, he still is that. And he probably could have helped almost every single team in the league in that regard. And you saw Carolina take advantage of that. I mean, the touchdown run was ridiculous. It wasn't even that well blocked. He stiff-armed two guys and then ran another one over. To go in, obviously, I loved him ripping his helmet off. And again, good for him. He's been through a lot these last few years. And to let it out like that, I think is so special. And then to go right back to him, they get right back down their next drive. Here you go again. You think he's going to pound it in, a little great little wrinkle play action, and he throws a touchdown pass.
First and goal. Cam takes a snap. Rolling right. Throws for the end zone. It's caught. Touchdown. And Cam Newton, two touches, two touchdowns.
This team is also different with Christian McCaffrey.
So tell me about him, Alex. Yeah, tell me about him, because 161 total yards, caught 10 balls, McCaffrey did.
Yep.
What did you see from him?
That's it. I mean, he's an absolute matchup nightmare. I mean, he's so good at, first off, I think a lot of people realize how good he is in space and what a natural receiver is. I mean, this is a guy that had 100 receptions in the NFL, but I think this all goes back to how well he can run the ball between the tackles. I mean, this guy is built really incredibly stout. When you see him up close, he's really, really strong, breaks a ton of tackles, ran the ball really well today, almost for 100 yards. Yeah, he almost outgained Arizona by himself. He's just a problem. You know, when you prepare for him, we played them several times over the last few years. He's all the attention. You do everything all week. Like, where's Christian McCaffrey? You're constantly worried about him. How are we going to stop this guy? Who's he's matched up on in the past game? And it's funny, like, with that being said, you still got to guard all the other guys too. So he is such a problem. He's so productive. He can get you in so many different ways. And then another part of this team, I think that is playing really, really well, is this defense. Carolina's defense, I think at this point they're number two defense in the NFL based off yards. Like, they're playing kind of a college scheme. They run this kind of 3-3-5 hybrid. It's like a Big 12 defense.
Alex, when you say a Big 12 defense, that does not exactly engender confidence.
No,
so what is
it
impressing
doesn't.
You about them?
Well, it's funny. I mean, when I saw it, you're like, there's no way this should work. I mean, you think teams are going to run for 400 yards against them, but they just don't. They're so physical. They play downhill. Yeah, they got five DBs on the field the whole time. Like, they're a really good unit. They're tough to prepare for because they are so unique, and they're playing really well. You saw them shut down one of the best offenses. I know Kyler and Hop weren't out there again, but Colt McCoy in this offense just went off last week for a ton of points and yards, and they couldn't get anything going today. Man, between, like we said, P.J. Walker, Cam, and Christian McCaffrey, they got it done on offense, and this defense held up their end again.
And suddenly, Alex, the Panthers, seventh. They have that seventh playoff slot right now. A true sleeper, right? Heading into the rounding out of the postseason picture. And the better news, maybe, is that the rest of the NFC South lost. So they're in the hunt at 5-5. And one of those other losses in the NFC South, of course, is the Tampa Bay Bucks to your boys on the Washington football team. Yep. Which, and I did not see this one coming, man, at all. Not least because they lost Chase Young to a non-contact leg injury in the second quarter, which is horrible news, of course. So how did Taylor Heinicke and the Washington football team pull this off?
I mean, you said it. I didn't see this coming at all either. I loved it. This was the playoff rematch from a year ago. You know, this Washington football team and Taylor himself, you know, scared the Bucks in the opening round of the playoffs last year. And really, probably was their toughest game they played on the way to the Super Bowl. And there was a lot of talk that obviously they didn't know they were preparing for him. They thought they were going to play against me and this immobile guy sitting in the pocket, you know, and Taylor went out there and made a bunch of plays with his feet and played great. So it was kind of fun to see Taylor get it because they knew what they were getting this time and they still couldn't stop him. And he played amazing today. This is kind of how I expected Washington to play all year. I think anybody watching, this is what we expected them to be like. They created two turnovers. They got two picks on defense, kept this dynamic Bucks offense in check to a certain extent. And then really, really opportunistic. You know, Terry McLaurin is one of the best, most underrated receivers in the game. Antonio Gibson, I think, is continuing to emerge as just a dynamic playmaker in the backfield. And again, Taylor, I thought he played great, had some huge third down conversions. And then the drive they did to seal this game off, a 10.5-minute, 19-play drive all the way down to the 1-yard line, 4th-and-1, and they decided to go for it. You know, Riverboat Ron.
4th-and-goal at the 1, 31 seconds. Handoff Gibson into the end zone. Touchdown.
It was very, very cool to see. I'm so happy for those guys in that locker room.
So after they pull off the longest drive in terms of time of possession by any team in the league this season, is there a group chat, Alex? Do you like fire off a quick text? What is it like? Because you've been smiling the entire time recapping how your old team won this game.
Yeah, I shot Taylor a note right after it. He just pumped for him, man. This is a guy that was on his couch. I thought he was out of football. He'd been a journeyman, dealt with injuries, and just kind of stayed there and stayed ready. And, you know, to come in last year and to play the way he did, you know, in the playoff, chance and played great. And then it got him, you know, an opportunity this year, and he's made the most of it. I think he's played really, really well. I mean, you talk about career starts. I mean, this guy's only had, 10 career starts. Like, he's still a young guy in that sense, but He had total command today. He plays with great timing and anticipation. And then he is a really, really gifted athlete when he has to be. Just awesome to take that step. And again, you know, he had a tough loss last year. I remember, you know, talking to him in the locker room when I felt like he hung everything out there in that playoff game and how much it hurt for him. And so to get that win today, I know it probably meant a little extra.
Yeah, yeah. Well, look, at the very least, your Washington football team haunting, finding ways to haunt maybe the greatest quarterback we've ever seen. So after the break, I want to get to the other ghosts in Tom Brady's past over in New England, and also why the Detroit Lions, why they are doing so much and yet getting so little.
Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured, it was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo, another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
So, Alex, the Patriots, man, they just embarrassed the Browns 45-7. And the Browns, for the record, had embarrassed the Bengals last week, all of which is to say that Bill Belichick has done it again. I don't know how you feel as a guy who actually played in the league, who played against Belichick. Like, are you astonished by this? Because I feel astonished by this, but I also know that I shouldn't be astonished by this because, of course, they're doing this and they're back and they're a legitimate contender in the AFC.
You know, it's always been kind of a signature kind of Belichick calling card that they're one of these teams that year in and year out, they find a way to improve as the year goes on. And that's not always the case. There are so many teams that start out hot, whether it be injuries or teams figure them out, what for whatever reason can't maintain and can't hold up. And the Pats, just whatever their philosophy, obviously Bill Belichick, the way they work, like they have a great knack for just continuing to improve. And yes, early this year, it didn't look like they even had a chance in that division, in the AFC. And man, right now, look out the entire AFC. I think, I mean, the defense continues to play better and better. Mac Jones today was really, really impressive. 3 touchdowns. His completion percentage was absurd. No turnovers. They are running the ball really, really well. They are built the right way for sustained success, like, I think, deep into the year. I know they still have 2 big matchups with the Bills looming later this year. So, man, I don't know if I've ever remembered this much growth from a Patriot team this fast. Like, obviously, taking a rookie quarterback and starting with them, and his growth along with this team so far, it has been impressive to see. And again, you don't see it at the professional level that often. The teams that get that much better that fast.
Alex, the Mac Jones end of this equation, I mean, that's the part that's blown me away the most, because he is peaking right now.
Takes the snap, throws to the end zone in double coverage. What a grab! Kendrick Bourne splits 2 Brown defensive backs, makes the catch for a Patriots touchdown.
And he had been sort of cast as this guy who was limited and was kind of going to be, you know, he's almost playing with the parental controls on.
Yep.
You didn't want him to do too much. But here in this game, what did you see from him in terms of taking that step forward in a real way?
Well, it's what we always saw, honestly, from Tom. Like, I mean, just total command, especially situationally. They're so good in the red zone. They're so good in third down. And Mac was at that today. Like, it was never in doubt. I mean, they put up almost 450 yards of offense. They look really, really good with a rookie quarterback at the helm. And we continue to see these guys still struggle.
A rookie quarterback, Alex, who might be, by the end of this, the best of all of them, which is a wild statement that I did not anticipate making as of, 3 months ago.
I totally agree. And he has such a great knack. I mean, obviously, I think, like you said, I think we all looked at him as limited and, doesn't have the big arm or doesn't have the crazy physique or doesn't have, the 40 time or the agility that some of these other guys do. But there's so much, there's so many immeasurables, I'm saying that correctly, that go into this. And he has so many of them. He gets rid of the ball. He has a great sense of timing, of anticipation for a young guy. I think he's doing more. You can make a case. He's obviously doing a lot more than the rest of his contemporaries. And so good to see. Good for him.
Yeah. So Mac Jones also benefited, by the way, from excellent pass protection, right? Like, the offensive line for the Patriots really stepped up in this one. They're a big reason why the Patriots are now 6-4 and very much in the conversation for best team in the AFC suddenly. But their defense, I mean, on the other side of things, right, is Baker Mayfield, who got sacked 5 times, got knocked out of the game entirely in the third quarter. When you play Bill Belichick, and when you play this defense in particular, Alex, like, what do they do so well? I know it starts with Belichick, who is one of the greatest defensive coaches you've ever seen. But, like, what is so terrifying about playing the Pats as a quarterback?
Yeah, and they held Cleveland, who played great last week, 200 yards of offense. They looked pedestrian. They were in the
snuffed
they
them
were,
out. Yeah.
Every time Cleveland dropped back to pass, I mean, there was a Patriot jersey, I felt like, back there causing problems. I think the one of the biggest things too with the Belichick coach defense is, like, it's just so hard to get a beat and anticipate what they're going to do. The Patriots truly are week to week an entirely different game plan that's unique to the opponent they're playing that week. And they have the ability to reinvent themselves. They have so many different guys that can kind of moving parts, these defensive end linebacker hybrid guys that can drop into coverage, but can also rush the passer and are terrible matchups. They get a running back in protection and they can, they're beating these guys a bulk of the time. And again, they're playing really, really well. You said it, 5 sacks today. They were in the backfield all day terrorizing. They wouldn't even put Baker back out there on the sidelines. And I don't blame them for it because it didn't look good.
No.
Cleveland couldn't protect a lick and couldn't get anything going. And this game was a bit of a runaway train.
Yeah. So speaking of runaways from Cleveland, Odell Beckham Jr., Alex, tonight, Monday night, will be making his debut for the Los Angeles Rams. And this is somebody who is going to not just be a luxury item, as we all conceived him to be going to LA, but also a necessity because we just discovered also over the weekend that Robert Woods, the Rams receiver, suffered an ACL tear at practice on Friday, so he's out for the whole season. What do you think we're going to see from Odell Beckham Jr.? What do you think his level of importance is to this team now?
I mean, what a crazy week for the Los Angeles Rams. You know, obviously they made a splash last week, you know, bold move trading for Von Miller and getting him in, even though he didn't play. And then they have a tough loss on national TV to the Titans. And then this week, another bold move. You know, they weren't a team that anybody was really talking about as far as going out and getting Odell and sneak in there and pull the trigger and make it happen. And I think there were a lot of people out there skeptical of this, right? How is this going to work out? Why would you bring him in? They have a good thing going. You don't really need him in the receiver room at this point. Yep. And then the very next day, Robert Woods, who's also one of their team captains, tears his ACL during practice. And so talk about some highs and lows and a range of emotion. And now really looking, you know, pretty genius for pulling the trigger and getting Odell in there. I think we all had questions of whether or not Odell was even going to play tonight. And I think without a doubt, now he has to. So, yeah, I think you're going to see Odell plugged in there. With a package, how big that is, how much he gets used is obviously remain to be seen. And it'll be a work in progress going forward. I think he's the Rams and Odell have got everybody's attention and I think we're all going to be watching. So excited to see how that's going to obviously play out.
So you mentioned highs and lows, and I'm trying to map what we saw from the Lions and the Steelers onto that emotional matrix, Alex, because we got a 16-16 tie, the first tie of the season. And I get that it was cold and windy and gross, but I'll just read out very quickly how this overtime went. It went Lions punt, Steelers fumble, Lions missed field goal, Steelers punt, Lions punt, Steelers fumble. Congratulations, you have now kissed your sister. So how did this feel to you? How do you feel about ties in general?
Man, this game, the weather was sloppy for almost the entire day. The play was pretty sloppy to go with it. And overtime was just an absolute debacle. I mean,
disgusting.
It was like neither of these teams want to win between the punts and the fumbles and, you know, the back and forth. I mean, neither team could get absolutely anything going that late in the game. I mean, the two bright spots, Najee Harris looked really, really good. DeAndre Swift, I think, is quietly the lone bright spot for the Lions at this point. I heard a crazy stat that the Lions have not won at Pittsburgh since Dwight D. Eisenhower was president of the United States. So to put into perspective the histories of these two teams, you know, the Steelers who have 6 Super Bowl,
that's right,
you know, championships. They've had 3 coaches, I think, for the last like 100 years, and the Lions who couldn't be further from that. As far as, you know, being functional, and I don't know how many head coaches they've gone through in the last, you know, 15 years.
Alex, I was watching this thing on Red Zone, which I think was the worst way to process it, because it felt like opening one of those websites where it's just like 1,000 pop-up windows. And I'm like, I don't want to see any of this. I'm trying to click these things. I'm trying to X them all out. And instead, oh, another fumble, another punt. Great. Thank you for ruining my football experience. My question for you here at the end, though, is like, are you cool with how this rule goes?
This game did not need to continue. Absolutely not. We did not need to see any more of this. These guys didn't need to be out there any longer. It was clear that it wasn't going to end well. Like, no. I'm all in favor. This, if there is an example of why ties should exist, today's game was why. I mean, like, let's all go home. This doesn't need to continue anymore. No, I'm all for it. Nope, absolutely.
Alex Smith, that is a level of diplomacy on the order, I believe, of Dwight D. Eisenhower. So once again, as always, thank you for joining us.
Pablo, thanks, man.
I'm Pablo Torre. This has been ESPN Daily. I'll talk to you tomorrow.